broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Why did you tell me you did not pull hard when you pulled three? Why did you lie to me?
I'm the head of a major corporation. I can't spend all day increasing market share.
Why did you call someone for pulling apart? A cold shower. Get undressed
right now. He was sloppy, but he was still functioning.
Who was talking there? A cold shower, get undressed right now? He was sloppy, but he was still... Well, we'll have to find out. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. All will be revealed every night here until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. In this land, in this time of increased ineptitude, amateurism, and amateurishness. Brother, we got our hands on the throttle, if you'll pardon the expression. Tonight we have Mr. Stephen Bozell joining us from Corona, California on the Super Bowl. And we will have Clara Bingham, who is a middle school teacher at Joyful Union Middle School in Bellflower, California, on Obamacare. Don't worry about it. We'll get to that and the unconstitutionality of it tonight on the show. Our number is 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. And our affiliate spotlight tonight on KFXR 1190 AM in Dallas-Fort Worth, the home of this year's forthcoming Super Bowl, and WNRR 1380 AM in Augusta, Georgia, home of the Masters. And PhilHendryShow.com, of course, is our website. You can get a live streaming video right now of our show, live streaming audio as well. And you can pick up on all of the archives that we have there. We've got a brand spanking new uncensored rant. As you know, with the backstage pass, you can hear me just holding forth on the latest uncensored rant, which is called Life After Fred Thompson. So you want to miss that one. 877-876-PHIL is the number. Stephen Bozell, who is a construction contractor in Corona, California. Why don't we put him on hold for just a minute, bud, because I want to get to the story that has created a problem in that man's daughter's school, a problem with himself as well as the administration of his daughter's school, and a problem between himself and his daughter. And this all starts in Park City, Utah, of all places, where Entourage star Jeremy Piven was. And I guess he got caught on tape, and it turned into a minor contretemps as he said that he'd rather see the New York Jets and the Chicago Bears in the Super Bowl. And he's a Chicago native, so he wants to see his hometown Bears. Instead of the Pittsburgh Steelers with Ben Rapistburger and the Cheeseheads. Let's listen to Entourage star Jeremy Piven.
Pittsburgh's the greatest Super Bowl.
There would have been Alex Rapistburger and the Cheeseheads.
Exactly.
The Cheesy Rapistburger.
Is that okay?
Oh, no.
What?
Did you hear the cameraman said, are you okay with that? And you heard Piven say, oh, no. And apparently he walked out of the room. He wasn't happy with that at all as that got on tape. And the problems of Ben Roethlisberger, the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers, the man was not charged by police. He was suspended by the NFL for violating the league's conduct policy. And what basically Piven was referencing were charges in 2010, last year, and 2009 for women who claimed Roethlisberger sexually assaulted them. But Big Ben, as he is called, was never charged. On the line with me is Stephen Bozell, who is a construction contractor in Corona, California. His daughter goes to CK Corona Middle School in Corona, California. And you had a meeting, Mr. Bozell, today with the school administration on this?
I had an encounter with the school administrator, the principal of the school, who is Joyce Dunbar, and I had an encounter with my daughters, and I'm a little bit nervous.
You're doing fine, sir.
I had an encounter with my daughter's teacher, Mrs. Heckler, Janice Heckler, as well as the students, and I would say on your program right now that I'm grateful to the staff and the teachers at CK Dunbar for helping me with this issue. It's a tough one.
And this had to do with the Super Bowl this weekend.
It had to do with the Super Bowl this weekend. We were having, and we're still going to have, a Super Bowl party at my home where we're going to have members of my work crew, my employees, my wife's friends, and some of our neighbors in to watch the game. But I'm not going to be watching the game. And again, I would thank my daughter and her classmates for that.
Now, you're not going to watch this football game.
No, sir. I've decided. I have decided that I would not. It was suggested to me that I do not. And what happened was,
you're not going to watch the Super Bowl game between the Steelers and the Packers. Why?
Well, I'm going to tell you because I wanted my daughter, who is listening to the broadcast tonight, and members of her class too. I want her to know that I love my daughter very much, and I want her to be proud of her father. And so we certainly believe in the rights of women and the rights of young ladies to walk unmolested in our society.
Okay, I want to know, Mr. Bozell, because you did tell me that you talked with the administrators and you talked to your daughter and you also talked to her class. Was this something that was the result of you doing? You're going to have this game.
Yes, sir.
All right, you're going to have this game, and you're not going to watch it.
Yes, sir. Well, it was this morning when I was reading a couple things online, and we were having breakfast together, the families, we always do. And I mentioned that the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Green Bay Packers was going to be in the Super Bowl. My son, at that time then, talked about Ben Roethlisberger. Just what you had played there.
All right, so your son brought up the term Ben Roethlisberger.
Yes, sir. And I said to my son, well, that's I didn't want him to really necessarily use that language at the table, but I also told him, well, he has not been. I said he was not charged. And my son thought it was funny. And I said, well, you know, we'll see him this weekend on the football game, but he hadn't been charged and he was not convicted of anything. I went to work at about 10:30 this morning. I got a phone call from Joyce Dunbar, who is the principal at CK Corona, directing me to come to the school. And at that time, I would have to talk to my daughter's class and Heckler's class.
And what grade is that?
She's in the seventh grade, so they're 12-year-olds.
Seventh grade, okay.
And I went into the class at that time, and I was asked by Mrs. Dunbar, had I said that I was going to watch the Super Bowl at my home? I said, yes, of course I am. And that's when the kids took over some of the questioning. A boy by the name of Bradley and some others said, was I aware that Ben, you know, about this rapist? I said, if you're talking about...
Who was asking you this? The children?
The children were, yeah.
Go ahead.
And I said, I am aware of the fact that there is a football game and that one of the players had been accused of rape. And that's when they got a little testy and they said, no, are you aware that he is a rapist? And
now, who is asking you this? The children?
This is still the children who are talking to me because the way they operate, you have to understand, Mr. Henry, it's a very high-level school. It's a public school, but it's a very high-level school, and they operate at a very high level where the children are not necessarily demeaned and they're encouraged to ask questions of adults on an equal footing. It's not that the kids are equal, but they ask questions on an equal footing. And I said I was not aware that Mr. Roethlisberger was a rapist, and they said, yes, he was, and that's when I said, but he wasn't convicted, and I was told at that time to shut up by this young boy, Bradley.
And so this is an 11-year-old boy or a 12-year-old boy who told you to shut up?
That is correct, yes. And so I was a little stunned. I looked at the teacher, and she didn't say anything. So now I realize I'm pretty much on my own. And they proceeded to tell me that Ben and they kept calling him Roethlisberger. And they also said, are you going to watch this game? And I said, yes, I am. And they said, you're going to bring a rapist into your house.
All of this is coming from these kids.
Yes, sir. And there was also the headmaster of the school, Mrs. Dunbar was standing at the door. So there was Heckler and Dunbar, the two teachers, and the principal, and two or three of other teachers as well as parents. So it was
you had an audience there of children and parents, and they were watching. And what is this exercise? And let me give before you answer that. Our number is 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. Talking to Mr. Stephen Bozell and encountering his daughter's class today. a collection of young people and teachers outraged that Mr. Bozell will be watching a Super Bowl that features a, quote, rapist, end of quote, Ben Roethlisberger, which you were very correct in saying he was never convicted of anything, but he violated a conduct policy.
Well, that's what I tried to say, but I was told to...
And you were told to shut up by an 11-year-old boy?
Yes, sir. This young man, Bradley.
What is his last name?
I don't know his last name.
Go ahead.
But I want you to understand something, that what happened to me after I talked to these kids about, they said that in having a Super Bowl, I'm basically bringing a rapist into my home. And this boy Bradley told me that by watching a Super Bowl, I am saying basically that rape's okay. And he told me that if I did, I would be as bad as a rapist. And I looked at the teacher. She was smiling at this.
You're kidding me, man. I cannot imagine any school allowing a kid to speak to an adult like that.
Well, again, Mr. Henry, you have to understand this is a very high-performing school, and they allow children to vent and to vocalize. It's a very big part of what they do. So the end result was I agreed that we're going to have a Super Bowl at our home. I will not watch the Super Bowl. I will.
You're not going to watch the game?
No, sir. I am going to go into the master bedroom or wherever, and I will be reading. I've been given a couple of books. One is called Full Frontal Feminism, which is a young woman's guide to why feminism matters. The other is Feminism Historical Writings. And these are very important books, and I'm not complaining. And I think ultimately, and I'd like a lot of men to know this, that are listening to your show right now, I'd like the men especially, I think ultimately the school was right in this, because I needed to be... I think brought in front of the publicly brought in front of the class and in front of the offended people, and told that I was wrong. And
well, who's really offended though? I mean, your daughter heard you say that you're going to watch the game. Your daughter says that Ben Roethlisberger is a rapist. Suddenly, you're brought into the school. Were these children aware of this?
Well, the kids are aware of the story. These are very high functioning, very intelligent children. I don't know how to explain this, but they're very, very intelligent. They're more intelligent probably than the average kid.
And this is a public school.
It is a public school. And it just so happens that children in this area are very high performing and very intelligent. And so when I was told by this kid to shut my mouth, it was embarrassing to me, but in many ways I felt like I needed it. Because
do you, in your heart of hearts, Mr. Bozell, I want you to tell me this. In your heart of hearts, do you really believe by watching that ball game, you're going to be bringing a rapist, Ben Roethlisberger, into your home for your daughter and other women to see?
I believe that by watching that football game, I'm bringing into my home an individual that they perceive to be a rapist. And that if one of these women miscarries, there are going to be two pregnant women there. And if they miscarry... on my rug, in my living room, in my home, in front of all my friends, and I am the cause of that because I had a rapist on my television set, and I'm enjoying this rapist having himself a good time, too. So I'm having a good time. The rapist is having a good time.
So you're going to have pregnant women. You're afraid of a miscarriage by these women. I got to tell you, it sounds to me as if... Well, your daughter's school has told you not to watch the Super Bowl, and you won't.
I was wrong to consider watching a game with an accused rapist in it. I was told by the school that to read some of these books on feminism and do an oral report on what I've learned and why it's wrong, and that's what I'm going to do.
All right. So, and what are the books you're reading again?
I'm reading Feminism, The Essential Historical Writings, and of course, the A Young Woman's Guide to Feminism.
All right, well, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're talking to Stephen Bozell here from Corona, California, on the fact that he is having a Super Bowl party, but after his daughter found out that Ben Roethlisberger was playing in it, an accused rapist, he was called to his daughter's school. He was questioned by the class as well as the teachers, almost as if he had Child Protective Services there, and he is not going to be watching the game as a result. Instead, will be reading two books on feminism and doing an oral report for the school. Have you ever heard of a parent being so directed by a school? 877-876-PHIL. Is Ben Roethlisberger a rapist? Well, no, he's not convicted. bringing him into your home via a Super Bowl game, is that harmful to women and girls? 877-876-PHIL. Next hour, Clara Bingham on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Famous Phil Hendry Show every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Stephen Bozell, a construction contractor from Corona, California, on to talk about the Super Bowl and his daughter's reaction to him mentioning that Ben Roethlisberger was going to be in the game. Now, the comment by Jeremy Piven's, an actor who was taped by TMZ saying Rapisberger, had some sort of pivotal role in this, correct?
Well, one of the young kids, this boy Bradley, said that this man, he said the Rapisberger, he heard about it, and that's when Bradley accused me, and I remember the moment because he pointed right at me, and he said, "So you think it's fun to have a rapist in your home?"
I cannot imagine. This is an 11-year-old boy. And what did you at any time say, "Excuse me, but you're talking to an adult"?
No, they would not allow that. I did mention to the teacher, I said, you know, I am older than these children, and she gave me a look like, you will stand there and listen to what they have to say. So I've been directed to read these books on feminism. My daughter also, of course, is going to be reporting back to the school any comments that I might make, and I've tried to do what I think is best for my daughter. I did mention to my wife, I said to my wife, what are you cooking for dinner? And apparently that is, in my daughter's mind, and it's what they call assumptive sexism, meaning I'm assuming that my wife is the chef. The other thing I did was compliment my daughter on a dress she was wearing, and she looked at me and said, you want me to wear a dress, not pants. I said, you could wear pants too. And she said, if I'm in a pair of pants, then you're going to say I look like a lesbian, so...
It sounds to me like you've been targeted somehow to keep in line based upon this Roethlisberger thing. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Gary in Bloomington, Indiana, or Bloomington, Illinois. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, Phil. It seems to me that this guy here should have, right then and there, explained to these kids that, look, the man was never convicted. Okay, the law says you're not guilty until proven guilty.
Yes, sir, I did. I did say that, and the kid said to me, he's still an accused rapist and most likely is guilty.
Well, that's wrong. Well,
that's an assumption. That don't mean he did
yes,
it. And everybody knows that more than likely those were gold diggers just out to get money out of him.
Well, did that have any effect on the kids or the teachers when you said that?
No, it didn't. It seemed to make them angrier, including this one boy, this kid I told you about, Bradley, who told me to shut my mouth when I said that. And I said that the man was not convicted, and that's when this kid said, shut your mouth, because we're talking about rape and the respect of women. I said, I respect women. I've got a wife. I've got a daughter. And I love and respect both of the women in my life, you know. And he told me to shut my mouth again. And
why wouldn't some adult or teacher stand up for you and say, don't tell this man to shut up?
Well, you got to understand, these are very high-performing kids. They're very intelligent.
No. No. They've got you running scared is what they've got. They've got you running scared. The school's trying to intimidate you, and that's exactly they, and you fell for it. Well, you should have said,
well, I'm reading these.
Teacher, you should have looked at that teacher and says, are you going to talk to me like that? I don't know what I'd have done. I'd have told him to shut up.
Well, if you tell him to shut up, then it escalates.
But you're the
what do you mean it escalates?
You've got to remember.
What does that mean?
What
does that mean it escalates?
Well, if you tell the kid to shut up, then he'll tell you, then you've suddenly got to be a violent situation. I don't know.
Well, you should never let yourself get in that position, ever.
You're trying to please your daughter.
And what are these books?
I'm reading. Well, I'm going to be reading The Myths of Feminism. They've got me reading two books, and yeah, I've got to do a book report on them.
I've got three daughters myself, okay? You can't please daughters. From up until the age of 12, you're going to hear it.
Right now, it's out of my hands. They're going to make me read this stuff. The Essential Historical Writings and a Young Woman's Guide.
All right, look at Gary, thank you for your call. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with Steve Bozell, who has been called to his daughter's school to answer for the fact that he'll be showing the Super Bowl, a game in which an accused rapist will be playing, Ben Roethlisberger. He had to stand and listen to these kids talking to him today. 877-876-7445. And coming up next hour, Clara Bingham on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We're with Mr. Stephen Bozell from Corona, California, and the topic here is this school that his daughter's going to, CK Corona. I know this is a public school in Corona, and you said they're very high-level kids, high IQs?
Yes, sir. They're all in top probably 10 percentile. I mean, they're very, very brilliant children, and the school... And I think CK Corona is the epitome, really, of what a school, and I've learned these things since talking to the class, to Bradley, to Mrs. Heckler this morning, is that a school, the responsibility, really, of a school to make sure that a parent is not making comments at home about racism. The responsibility of the school to make sure the parent is not making, you know, insensitive feminism comments, such as, what are you cooking for dinner, you know, you look good in that dress, not mention the, you know, there could be sexual overtones.
And yeah, but you're a father to a daughter. Can't a father tell his own daughter she looks nice in a dress?
Of course, of course. But you have to understand, if you say that, you know, dress the dress has traditionally been a female piece of garment worn for the pleasure of men. It's got nothing to do with a woman. Okay, got nothing to do with a woman. And when you say you look good in that dress, you're saying, boy, am I glad, you know, you're wearing what you're supposed to wear and you're not being, you know, you're not being all flippant, you know, or, you know, like a lesbian or something like that. So when my daughter said, well, what if I wore pants? I go, I would like that too. She goes, then you'd say I'm a lesbian. So I've got, I'm hopeful of a lot of the reading I'm going to do this weekend will clear a lot of this up, you know.
And you don't mind you're missing a Super Bowl game, do you?
Okay, my daughter is, boy, she's listening right now. My daughter told me to say no.
What? No, sir. I'm not asking you what your daughter's telling you to say.
I have to say no, I don't mind.
What is your honest answer?
I just want to say that.
Well, Mr. Bozell, we can't have an interview if your daughter's standing there.
My daughter's listening to the broadcast, which is her right, sir.
Well, then why didn't you answer my question honestly?
My daughter... indicated to me she'd rather I say that I'm happy that I'm not watching the game, that's all.
How old is your daughter again?
My daughter is 12, but I'd really rather not talk about that.
877-876-7445 is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. Let me go over to Tammy in Louisville, Kentucky. Hi, Tammy. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil.
So, yes, ma'am.
Like to tell you, your daughter is 12, and right now, her opinions of people are going to be set now, and how she sees you is going to
be—is
she going to see that for the rest of her life? And if you let her see you as someone who could be run over and change your views, if you feel like this man was, you know, not—he's not been, you know, took to trial yet, so you need to stand up for that, not just for him, but for all humans, you know, all people. So.
The young boy, Bradley, what about this boy, Bradley? He's an 11-year-old boy. He's very intelligent. He's probably more intelligent than me, to be honest with you. And,
intelligence goes both ways. And just because he tells you to shut up and he's overpowering you does not make him intelligent. He's probably just trying to be a big wig with a little girl to try to score some brownie points, sounds like to me.
Well, they like him. There's no, yeah, they like him. There's no question.
Well,
but he does have.
He takes up for girls, you know. So
well, yeah, there is a certain manhood to him. There's a certain manhood to him that I found to be intimidating. You know,
what do you mean a manhood? He's 11.
He's learned how to do that. Now you need to assert yourself and show him how a real man, you know, a real man stands up for himself.
And if it escalates. And if it escalates.
Yes. Well, it escalates, but you know, you got to be smarter than him. You can say, look, you
that's
can
the part
yourself.
I'm not sure about.
Well, you
that's
don't let
part
him
I'm not
tell
sure
you
about.
Don't let him to tell you to shut up. That's not intelligent.
Well, if I'm saying that a rapist is playing on TV and it's going to be in my home and there's women that can miscarry if they get that information.
Is he a proven rapist? Is it proven?
No, ma'am. No, he's
well,
not. But my daughter said, when I said that he was only charged and he wasn't proven, my daughter, that's when Bradley told me to shut up. And my daughter,
that's
you know, I could tell she approved.
When they
that's
know they
the, yeah.
Can't be in. They say,
my daughter approved of it, though.
Your daughter has been telling you, don't compliment her in a dress. Don't compliment her in pants. If she's in a dress, that means you want her to be some, you know, in the kitchen kind of a lady. If you compliment her in pants, that means you're calling her a lesbian. This is a no-win situation for you.
I'm not trying to win, Mr. Henry. I'm trying to do what's right by my daughter. And if
you
they want me to read a book
yourself,
on...
And she will respect
on lesbians,
you more for that. If you
well,
stand
this
up
kid
for
Bradley,
your own. Well, let me ask
my
you this.
Instinct,
what happens if you don't do this book report? Are you sent to detention? You lose your birthday? What?
I'm going to have to go back into... Well, you can make jokes if you want, ma'am. I have to go back in and face the class again.
Well, what if you don't do it? What if you say, hey, I'm not on trial here. I don't have to do a book report.
How you're right.
Have
you filed
this to shut up do the book report? It sounds to me... He needs to do
you
one
can't
on
do
the
that.
Justice system.
You can't
no,
do
you
that
can.
Because if I
no,
give in,
can't.
If I give in, no, you can't. If I give in to my
no,
instincts would be to
Ron,
go and grab
is,
that. Ma'am, you don't understand. If I give in to my real instincts, I would strangle that boy. Do you understand what I'm saying? I would strangle him.
No, wait. What do you mean?
No, I would put my hands around that kid's throat and squeeze the life out of him.
Well, you don't want to do that.
No,
you just told me to. No, you just told me to.
Who did?
You did. You told me to strangle a kid.
No, I did not. I said go in there.
Yes, you did. You said for me to use my instincts, and my instinct is to strangle that child.
Well, no,
I'm being honest with you.
Go in there and say, hey, you don't tell me to do a book report. You're not my boss, my employer. I don't.
Well, he'll just mouth off again. He'll mouth off again until I slap.
Well, you know what?
God, I want to slap it.
That's fine, but you know what?
You know,
ma'am,
you don't get it. You don't get it, ma'am. You don't get it.
You're
telling me all this nice, cozy stuff. All I want to do is slap the skin off that kid's face.
Well, that isn't what you want to do. All right, thanks very much for your call, Tammy. That isn't what you want to do either. You don't want to slap the kid in the face. Here is Gary in Manhattan. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, this is Gary from the city once again. My point is
yes, sir.
He's not a proven rapist, but he's a proven great quarterback. Sit back, relax, watch a football game. It's a championship game.
Not allowed
relax. Well, you know, the way I grew up and probably my background, once again, I'm from New York City, I can't relate to anything you're going through in any way, shape, or form. It doesn't
well, what do you mean?
In my world. I don't live that way.
Well, wait a minute. This is a very high-level school, and the kid,
well,
the Bradley
great.
Kid...
My son did that, too, in New York City.
Okay.
The school would never call me, and I would never go. It's not even a discussion. Case closed. I don't know what to tell you. You got to toughen up a little.
Oh, so you're trying to tell me that Ben Roethlisberger, if a woman miscarries in my home because she's looking at a rapist or what she thinks
once
is a
again,
rapist?
Once again, it's the people you hang out with, the people you grow up with. I don't know people who do things like that, who miscarriage or any of that, or fall apart like that. I'm from a big city, but what's saying to
I understand
me,
you're from a big city, but women don't have miscarriages. You tell me that women don't have miscarriages in New York? Of course they do. And if
you're sitting around in a social situation getting bent out of shape about a football, that's insanity. Once again, do yourself a favor. Don't ever come to New York City.
In the people that I'm coming over to my house, and I say, that's Ben Roethlisberger, he was accused, not even proven, he was accused to be a rapist. And I got two pregnant women sitting there. What happens if they go ahead and have it?
Well,
there's
something mentally unbalanced for somebody who fall into a situation like that. It's not
I would
normal.
Agree with that.
Yeah, that's...
I
wish
you... It may not be normal, but I got to deal with it. And then
I understand that. Well, I'm glad,
and
like I said,
I
wouldn't deal with it. Well, that's it. That's
and I would have to, the other thing is I got to deal with that Bradley kid come Monday morning after the game if he hears about it.
What are you talking about if he hears about it?
You would.
Yeah.
Well, if the kid hears about a woman miscarrying on my rug, huh?
Yeah, I tell you, we live in different worlds. Best of luck to you. Take care. Bye.
Well, thanks a lot. That was a whole lot of nothing. You know,
well, the man's calling, and he's giving you his perspective, you know, about the issue.
Yeah, he's calling from New York. Well, you know, I'm in New York, and we don't do that here, so thanks very much. You talk about meaningless. All I wanted to do, Mr. Henry, if I could say it again.
Well, before you say it again, let's just remember, our number, by the way, 877-876-PHIL. All through my Saturday night show, by the way, Bud, I was giving out the national number when I should be giving out the L.A. number. Then I give out the L.A. number. Anyway, one of the things I want to ask you, Mr. Bozell, is the following thing. On Saturday, or excuse me, Sunday when the game is on, you're not going to be watching the game.
No, sir, I will not.
You're going to be reading two books on feminism.
That is what I've been told by this school. Now, it could be that a lot of the people calling are not, they're not familiar with a high-level school, a high-performing school. My school that my daughter goes to is one of the top schools all over. Okay? And the kids in there, you got, when you confront those kids, you better have it together, friend. Because I'll tell you, they will. So, I was reminded of if you ever saw...
Well, let's get to another phone call because we got to take a break right after the call. Here is Chuck in Louisville. Chuck, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Steve Bozell.
Yeah, this guy, he needs to grow a set of balls. He's forgetting who the parent is and who the child is, and he keeps talking about this high-level school. I went to a private high school, and one of the things they taught us was respect. You've got to, the adults got to have respect. And this crap of you doing a book report, are this 11-year-old going to come after you? What the hell is wrong with you? Wake up. Get in the real world. And this Bradley, he better grow up. He becomes an adult, and somebody, he tells somebody to shut up. He'll all be chewing out of his hind end because they'll knock his teeth down his throat. What is wrong with you, mister?
My instinct is to strangle the
I don't give a damn what your instinct is. You don't have to take his crap off his kid. You don't have to hit him. You don't have to touch him. You don't have to do a book report. You don't have to go back to that school. And if they're teaching your daughter that not to respect adults, you need to get her out of that school. I have a daughter. She's a grown woman now. And,
yes, sir.
And she's doing good in life. And if I wanted to tell her, and I praised her when she looked nice and she dressed nice when she did good in school. It ain't got anything. It's not raising your child.
Well, I've said to you that, my daughter, I said, look, this man was not convicted of no rape, and she said that doesn't matter.
Get off of that. I don't give a damn about that guy.
She told me to shut up.
See,
my daughter is telling me to hang up on you. My daughter's asking you to hang up on this man, Phil.
I'm not hanging up on this man.
Okay. All right, hang up on me then.
No, I'm not hanging up on you, Chuck. I'm not hanging up on you, Chuck.
If your daughter boss you around like that, you need to be. How do you run a construction company? How do you deal with construction workers?
I know what type. My crew chief is.
What are the you going to be allowed? How can you go to work Monday morning? How can you go to work in the morning and face the men that work for you or the people that work for you when you've got kids intimidating you?
I'll tell you how. I got a very good lawyer. Her name's Dolores Blasingame of Riverside, California.
You got a good lawyer.
Good.
Meaning what?
I'll sue the hell out of anybody that laughs at me.
You better sue someone. Come on now.
I'm asking you to understand.
What planet are you living on, buddy?
I'm on the
planet. Where are you coming from?
Well, sir, if you you say you know a high level school. My daughter is of high. You know.
So what?
Are you telling me? Let me ask you a question. I want to ask you a question, sir. If I've got a football game on, I got
respect.
Hold on for a minute. I understand, but I got a football game on. And that's two women are pregnant.
Who paid for the TV? Did your daughter pay for the TV?
No, I did, of course. But if I got
all right,
a football game on.
What about the same? You know, a man is king of his castle. What are you, the prince?
I totally rule the roost. I totally rule the roost in my home. Let me tell you what.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it doesn't sound like it to me.
Your daughter's telling you to hang up, that you can't watch the football. You got to do a book report. You're intimidated by an 11-year-old. What is wrong with you, mister? Grow a set.
What I'm saying is that kid could come after me, If I don't do that,
11 years going to come after you. What is he going to do to you?
No, I said it could escalate, and then I'll be forced into killing him. And I don't want to do that.
What are you, that's really weird, man, that you have two reactions. You're either very, very compliant, or you want to kill the kid. Why didn't you? Isn't there anything in the middle?
Mr. Henry, I've taken all kinds of crap from
this. Why are you even giving this kid the time of day is what I can't figure out.
Because they called me to the school. Look, sir, all I want to know is this.
Well, take your child out of that school and put her in the school where they teach her the basic things. One of the things is
one of the basic things is don't take a rapist into your house so a woman can miscarry on your rug.
Are you involved? Are you opening the front door and telling him to come in? You watch the evening news?
I've got it on the TV.
Are you watching the evening news when they show murderers?
It's called the Super Bowl, and the guy's going to be playing quarterback.
Okay, what we're talking about, Ben Roethlisberger.
I'm not going to. They won't let me.
What's wrong with you, mister?
I'm not allowed to watch the Super Bowl because of a rapist.
All right, look, thank you very much, sir, for your call.
Anything else can't do to you, and that's good. You deserve everything you get, mister.
Bradley's going to come.
Okay, you tell me that if that
Bradley's
kid comes after you.
Come after you.
If the kid comes after you, you talk to me.
You know what?
Okay, say one more thing,
Chuck.
Thank you, sir. 877-876-PHIL. You got people laughing at you.
Well, you know what? They can laugh if they want to, but I'm the guy that's got to come in with a sponge.
All right, I understand. I don't, you know, you with this miscarriage on your rug. Because, there's Ben Roethlisberger. We'll be back here with Stephen Bozell on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 877-876-7445. Next hour, of course, Clara Bingham. The Phil Henry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Stephen Bozell on the line here from Corona on the Super Bowl game coming up this Sunday. Playing in that football game is Ben Roethlisberger. You know, it's a terrible thing when a man is accused of a crime like that, and he has not been adjudicated guilty. He has not even been charged with a crime, and yet this now clings to his reputation. And you being a man, I would think you'd be sensitive to that.
Mr. Henry, it's not that I don't care. Okay, my daughter is telling me now to move past that.
Hey, man, I'm going to ask you any question I want, okay?
I know, but my daughter, he told me. My daughter's asked me, Mr. Henry.
All right, you know what, Mr. Bozell, do you want me to hang up?
No, I would rather that you not, because we want to play this back for the class tomorrow.
Okay, then let the class hear this. All right, here's the question, and I want you to answer it. What about a man's reputation, something that the class should know about and your daughter should know about? What about a man's reputation?
A man's reputation is important unless, you know, feminism is threatened. In which case, the feminism has got to live. It's almost as if you've got one has to die and one in order for the other to live. And if in order for feminism to live, then a man's reputation must die.
And that's what you think, huh?
That's what I have been taught. Bradley, all of them.
Bradley, all of them taught you that a man's reputation goes up in smoke for feminism to march on. So in other words, a philosophy or a way of life or a view of the world tramples over the individual. Isn't that what we are taught in this country is the wrong thing? Are we not a country of individuals?
Well, you know, you're getting into some... You're trying to wrap yourself in the flag now. That's wrong.
I'm not wrapping myself in the flag. I'm talking about things that are transcendent from the flag or from country. Let's go to Laura on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Laura.
Hi, Steve. I've been listening
to
you on the show here. And I can respect your desire to stand up for the rights of women because I am a woman. And I grew up in an age when there was a lot of things women couldn't do. But,
right.
You know, Phil is right when he says that this man has been accused of a crime that he has not been charged. You know, he's not been tried and found guilty of. I could say that I'm accusing you of a crime that you have absolutely no guilt of, and therefore, because I throw this guilt on you, everybody would have to treat you differently and react differently around you. Now, it sounds like there's a lot of manipulation going on with your daughter in the name of feminism, and that's not why feminism was ever brought up as an issue. It was brought up to solidify women's rights. Everybody else on this earth, you know?
Right.
And this man...
Not to talk to you, you know?
What is your daughter doing?
Pardon me?
She's telling me not to talk to this lady.
I'm not talking to your daughter. You know, I'm talking to you. You're asking, what do I do? And I'm just telling you, in order to address this issue, you have to hit the issue honestly. You can't sidestep the truth,
phone back.
You know?
What's going on, Steve?
My daughter's trying to grab the phone. Go sit down in the living room.
Oh, is he there? We lost the connection. Laura, thank you so much for your call.
Yeah, it sounds like this fellow's got a lot more trouble, huh?
His daughter just pulled the phone cord or something. 877-876-PHIL. Clara Bingham coming up next. Find out what happened, will you, bud? Clara Bingham coming up next here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Henry.
I'm back. Hello?
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
It was horrible. It was horrible. It was abusive.
After the tragic massacre in Tucson, we decided to investigate the issue in Arizona.
I used protection. But
I'm the head of a major corporation. I can't spend all day increasing market share.
Wide hunk.
Famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, and some other time in the Middle Coast. And we're here with Truth being our bitch every night, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, going places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Other talk shows are just big, fat wind machines. Big, fat gas bag machines. Here we do radio. A federal judge deems Obamacare unconstitutional. Clara Bingham joins us to discuss this. 877-876-7445. 877-876-PHIL. So Obamacare, unconstitutional, at least in the mind of the one federal judge. And that's how these things go. Now, this made very, very big news today. It made very big news in the what is it called, the Twitterverse. That is the universe of Twitter. And I would ask, Jace, why don't you send that to me via Pigeon, because looking for it through this stack of news right now is probably not going to be the most beneficial thing to do. But essentially, a federal judge in Florida ruled unconstitutional the sweeping health care reform law championed by President Obama, setting up what is likely to be a contentious Supreme Court challenge over the legislation in coming months. Monday's sweeping ruling came to the most closely watched of the 24 separate challenges to the law. Florida, along with 25 states, had filed a lawsuit last spring seeking to dismiss what critics had labeled Obamacare. Vinson, the judge, dismissed the key provision of the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, the so-called individual mandate requiring most Americans to purchase health insurance by 2014 or face stiff penalties. The judge wrote, "I must reluctantly conclude that Congress exceeded the bounds of its authority in passing the act with the individual mandate. This is not to say, of course, that Congress is without power to address the problems and inequities in our health care system." So my other understanding of this is that it is still subject to review. I should say not review, it's appeal. And so while it goes through its appeal process, the law is not struck down. The law is still essentially in place. That is my understanding. Clara Bingham, a middle school teacher at Joyful Union Middle School in Bellflower, California, is joining us, and you're not a lawyer, and neither am I, Clara, but from the standpoint of a teacher, from the standpoint of you know, a member of our teaching profession, and you see kids every day, you talk to parents every day. What's the feeling?
Well, first of all, Phil, thank you very, very much for allowing us to have this forum.
You're more than welcome.
Because we do want to be heard on this, and I have to say that we are very disappointed, obviously. We feel that striking down the Patient Protection Affordable Care Act as unconstitutional cannot stand. We have far too many children, and as well as elderly people, who certainly need this kind of medical care. We have a country that is being crushed under the burden of the expense of health care. So we have not just reacted with shock, because this is something that I think we cannot allow to stand. This is the kind of activism from the bench that I've always heard a lot of the Tea Party talk about that they don't like, except when the Tea Party is the benefit of that. So we're putting on a full court press.
All right, let me ask you about your full court press and our number, 877-876-7445. When you say full court press, are you guys immediately addressing this with your elected representatives or with the judiciary?
Well, we don't think that it really much matters right now. We are writing letters to our state senator here in our district, Alan Lowenthal. We're also going to be writing letters to Lucille Rosa-Allard. She is our congresswoman. Our assemblyman is Ricardo Lara, to Barbara Boxer, and, of course, to Diane Feinstein. And we're going to find a way to address this with Congress and with members of our assembly and tell them that we must have Obamacare be constitutional, and that calling Obamacare unconstitutional is the kind of activism from the bench that we don't think is right. And we,
now, when you call it a full court press, what have you got going on?
We've got everyone writing letters. Right now, we have a letter writing and a petition campaign that is second to none. We have all of the elderly in our congregation. We have our seniors choir. We have members of our senior club, both our men club and women club. And, of course, we've got our students, all of our students from grade 3. All the way on up, many of them writing petitions, and of course talking about how much they need the medical care that this would give them.
And so we've got people writing letters to the Congress, to
Congress, to the State Assembly.
And and you're using, I'm not saying using, but you have the kids too?
Yes, we have our third graders, and it's all right, because the children, I think, make a very good example of why we need health care. A lot of them, we will tell them to talk to the Congress people, tell them the sicknesses that they've had if they were in the hospital, and this kind of thing. And also the elderly people who are in our shuttle service, we'd like them to write letters to.
And now, what is your shuttle service?
Well, this is our church-run shuttle service. We take our elderly to the doctor's appointments. We take them to the hospital appointments if they have them. We take them to get their medicine. And this is actually a part of our church, but it is a separate company that we run. And it is something very needed by our seniors. They could not get around if they did not have this.
So this is a part of it's a complementary part of the church?
No, this is not complimentary. This, we charge a fee, and certainly with the Obamacare, we're going to have more people needing to access the doctor. But the fee that we charge will not have to go up, because we will have more. So it's very complicated.
All right, okay, but I'm just, you know, so you have a shuttle service that you run. That's not part of the church, though.
No, it's not.
All right, so, and then you have the kids writing letters.
We have the children writing letters. Obamacare being made unconstitutional, we think, is wrong. We don't think that it's unconstitutional. We think it's very constitutional. And we also, if they do decide that it's unconstitutional, then we would have to say perhaps the Constitution needs to be changed. I don't know at this point, but we've got a full court press, and many of the seniors feel that you mentioned the shuttle service. Many of those seniors have, to be honest with you, have not paid their fee. And so we've told them, you need to write this letter because we'll have enough. Then we'll have enough people and enough money to keep our shuttle service going.
All right, our number, 877-876-7445, 877-876-7445. We're talking here with Clara Bingham, Joyful Union Congregation. You are also, Clara, married to Pastor William Rennick, who is the main spiritual leader.
Yes, he is.
Of your congregation about Obamacare being ruled unconstitutional here in Florida. So, obviously, your group there, your constituency, your church, your congregation, your the children in your school and the parents are all in favor of Obamacare. Now, your interest in it with regard to your shuttle service or anything else, I know you have this separate shuttle service, but the church is not a for-profit, is it?
No, the church is not for-profit at all. Our school is a private school, and that certainly is a for-profit venture. We do charge tuition. Our shuttle service is a, we do charge a fee. And so in order for our elderly to keep that price as stable as we can for our elderly, we must have Obamacare, you know, made constitutional, and in order for our tuition. And so this is really the terrible thing. I feel so badly for the people who we have taken to doctor's appointments, we have taken to these different things. I feel so badly for them that they're going to have to be walking or taking a bus, because I will not be able to have them on the shuttle. They won't be able to afford it. I feel so badly for a lot of the children in our private school because the benefits will cost so much, they won't be able to afford a tuition. The fee...
Would the fee for the service be reimbursed by government under Obamacare? Whereas, how is it now? You're not getting as much funds?
The fee under Obamacare would be reimbursed, yes. So I could get the money from them, and then they can get it from Obamacare, or I can get it from Obamacare straight up. But without Obamacare, Pastor Rennick says, without Obamacare, there's going to be a lot of old people walking. What do you think? He said there's going to be a lot of old people hitchhiking, which I don't want to see that happen. I don't want to see that happen.
So the old people can get, the elderly, I should say, can get this money from Obamacare, or you can?
That is correct. That is correct, yes. And,
so are you forcing your students to write letters in favor of Obamacare?
No, we don't. Well, it's part of their, what do you mean by force? It's part of their homework.
Okay, all right. And do the parents know you're connected to the shuttle service?
Do the parents of who? The old people?
Well, no, I'm curious because you've got this private school, the shuttle.
You're trying to make a conspiracy where there isn't one. I have a private school and a shuttle service. The old people know about it. Parents of the children don't need to know about it.
All right. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Clara Bingham from Joyful Union Congregation. The unconstitutional nature of Obamacare has to be, they have to overturn that and make it constitutional again, because there's a lot of old people that are going to be getting money from Obamacare for the shuttle service they operate. A lot of kids that will get medical care from their, you know, their middle school. So 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line with me is Clara Bingham from Joyful Union Congregation. Obamacare was ruled unconstitutional today by a Florida judge. Now, that doesn't mean that it is, that's not the end of the line. There are other judges. There are other courts. The ultimate court of the counts is the Supreme Court of the United States, and this will be appealed to higher and higher courts. Ms. Bigham, you have your kids are writing letters to state representatives. Your kids are writing letters to the assembly people. The question I had, and I'm sorry if I'm asking it again, are you forcing these kids?
No, we are not forcing it. Phil, it is part of their homework. You're saying, are we forcing these children to write these letters? If having homework that will enable these children to have health care so that their parents can pay the tuition that enables these children to go to our school, then, yes, that is homework. Am I forcing them? Well, homework is something you're supposed to do. But understand that unless these children get this health care, their parents cannot afford our private school. Likewise, unless Obamacare is ruled constitutional, many of our seniors are not going to be able to afford our shuttle service. And I don't know about you, but the idea of elderly people having to walk to the doctor's office or ride on a bus with gang members and...
No, I totally understand. I wouldn't want them to do that either, but it all hinges on Obamacare. That's all I'm asking.
Yes, of course it does. So much of this hinges on Obamacare. And this judge making it unconstitutional has basically said that an old woman who wants to go to the doctor's office to try to get some malady treated is unconstitutional. He made all the old ladies unconstitutional. He made all these children unconstitutional.
Yep. Well, in a manner of speaking, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. April in Queens, New York. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes. Hello. I just like to say, I'm sure you're doing a very good job in, you know, running the facility that you're running.
Thank you.
It's a lot of hard work, and I'm sure you see the ups and downs of society and what people can afford and what they can't afford. My only worry position I have is that the children that you're having get involved in the homework now. I found out you said it's a homework assignment. They're too young, I believe, to be doing this kind of assignment, because whatever you tell them, that's what they're going to take as the truth and the only truth. When the children are in school, they know their parents tell them that they go there to learn. So whatever you teach them, they're going to say, my teacher is right, I'm learning. And probably that's 100% true in every situation, but when you have children writing letters going against a judge decision, that is very worrisome. I have a teenager, a 30-year-old, and a 13-year-old.
Yes.
And the hardest thing for them to understand is when someone in authority tells them this is what is right and this is what is wrong, they have to take my word, even if the policeman or the teacher or the fireman might not be right or the teacher may not be right. I have to tell them that they're right, and so I, as a parent, can make the judgment that the person was wrong. Because if I let them...
All right, let me get Clara to what... Clara?
Well, I think that what the young lady is saying is very true, but let's also keep in mind that without Obamacare, a lot of their grandparents, they won't see them again. They're going to... they'll be walking to the... We have a shuttle service, as you know, right, ma'am?
Mm-hmm. Right.
All right. If we don't have Obamacare, that's a whole lot of old people walking on a freeway. Now, we're in the Los Angeles area. Mr. Henry said you are in New York. And I know New York has a lot of surface street, and the freeway traffic in New York is on the outer area. L.A., you got old people wandering on a freeway. So we can't have that.
Well,
now, the little children that are going to be writing these letters... We are simply saying to them, you don't want your grandmother to die.
And wait, that's what the lady's saying, though.
You can't scare them like that and use that as a reason for them to get involved, to go against a judge. The children have to think, well, maybe we should write to our councilman, maybe we should go and with our little picket sign to City Hall, have it be something that they go on a class trip and go in front of City Hall and talk. Because I have a son that doesn't even think that cops have any any truth in them because of the few that are corrupt. If children start believing our judges are making wrong decisions, then our cops can be wrong, our teachers can be wrong, our priests can be wrong. That's how children think.
Why does that child of yours think that cops don't tell the truth? Because you told them that. See, we are not saying. Didn't you tell that child of yours that the cops don't tell the truth?
I didn't hear. I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you too well.
The lady's talking about her child not believing cops tell the truth. I'm saying that these children of ours get a creative writing assignment. I assign each kid a unique illness to tell their representative that they have, and we implore them to keep Obamacare in play. It's a great exercise.
Well, they're lying then.
No, they are not lying. It is a creative writing.
Suppose one of the kids' parents, just suppose, that you have 20% of the students that don't want Obamacare. The children will be too afraid not to write the report if their parents...
These children don't know.
A permission slip or something has to be signed?
Well, you can't have a child ask a child, what do you think about Obamacare? These children don't know.
No, do the parents have to sign a slip saying that they are in favor of their child writing
it? Well, I don't see any reason in involving the parents in it at this stage.
Well, this sounds like a problem to me.
I beg your pardon?
This particular homework assignment is a big problem to me.
You're not letting the parents know that you've got these children writing letters, you know.
Mr. Henry, don't make everything into a federal case because you excite your listeners. You can handle it.
I'm not excited. I understand,
but... there's no reason for me to involve the parents now. We've got a very good system. The children are writing these letters.
You got the very good system. The children are writing letters saying they got this sickness and that sickness, and their grandmother is going to be walking on a freeway to get to the doctor. Don't you feel a little bad?
They could have nightmares. No. You don't know how the children's minds work.
You're making a mountain out of a molehill. You're making a mountain out of a molehill.
I'm just saying I have experience with children. I have three of my own.
And these kids are going to be fine.
All right, we got to take a break. I thank your call, caller, April, thank you. 877-876-PHIL. Your phone calls for our guest, Clara Bingham, 877-876-7445. Next, the News Hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. Phil Henry Show.
Everything's good. It's all good.
Phil Henry.
Trust me.
Famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Henry Show, talking to Clara Bingham from Joyful Union Congregation on the Obamacare bill has been ruled unconstitutional by a Florida court. You know, the children that you have in your classroom don't understand what unconstitutional means.
Well, that is it exactly. The children don't understand. What they do understand is that Obamacare is a medical support for them. Obamacare means they get to go to the doctor. And without it, they can't go to the doctor. So why would a child say no to write?
Because you're not telling the parents. Tell me why it is you don't want to involve the parents, that you're having these children write letters in favor of Obamacare to State Senator Lowenthal.
The reason why we are not involving the parents right now is because at this level, a third grader, a fourth grader, there's no need. There is really no...
Why is there no need? What if the parents themselves are opposed to what you're having their children write?
We have to make these decisions for a lot of reasons. Parents today have shown an irresponsibility. I'm sure you've seen this. We have seen parents, white and black, show a complete ignorance to the well-being of their children. Some parents... don't even have their children going to school. You've seen it in all walks of life, in all classes of society.
And so you make the unilateral decision you're going to have these kids writing letters supporting Obamacare, making up stories about illnesses that they've got.
It is a creative writing assignment. It's an essay on any random topic that the teacher decides. And
well, when you say any random topic, this is the topic, though.
Yeah, that's true.
That Obamacare has got to be ruled constitutional.
That is correct. And the other thing, Phil, and I think this is true of the people listening to your program right now, I think a lot of people don't understand the concept of unconstitutional. I know a lot of parents don't understand that. So that if we're talking about Obamacare not being constitutional, most of the parents don't understand that. Most of your listeners are probably having a very difficult time with that. It's a sad testament to the educational system that we had when many of today's adults are coming up, and a very sad testament to public education we have now.
Well, I think you're stretching it a little when you say, I'm sure that there are a great many adults that struggle with the definition of unconstitutionality. You may be pushing it a little bit to say that my audience doesn't get it.
I don't think a lot of people do. I'll tell you, today when I heard the news that Obamacare was unconstitutional, and I listened to some of the talk radio programs, and I heard people, they had no idea what's unconstitutional about it, this and that. So, yeah, it's a very, very difficult thing for people to get. And I would simply say it's time for us to make it constitutional, or otherwise the Constitution doesn't mean anything.
Well, you know, when we talk about constitutional amendments and stuff like that, we talk about amendments to the Constitution of the United States. Where do you even begin amending the U.S. Constitution so that Obamacare is constitutional? People don't even know why this is unconstitutional in the first place.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, I can explain it. The judge said that it had to do with the mandate, that you cannot force people to buy things.
Well, that may be what the judge said, but mostly the judge, for all I know, is just saying that for smoke and mirrors. The judge may say that because he knows the people listening to him don't understand.
Well, the judge is talking to lawyers. He's talking to the attorney generals of these different states. So these are guys that are definitely going to understand it.
I know that the attorney generals are going to understand it, but the average person out there does not get it. They do not understand. And so when he says it's unconstitutional, people are completely in the dark. And so that becomes the most important aspect to what we're talking about. So we have to change the document. Has the Constitution jumped the shark? I don't know. If this Obamacare bill is unconstitutional, then the Constitution really has become overrated.
Well, we'll talk. Let's ask our audience that question.
Well, again, you're asking your audience a question I don't think they have the answer for.
Well, then why do you have the answer, Ms. Bingham?
Because I'm an educator. Because I'm an educated woman.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking to Clara Bingham from Joyful Union Congregation. Is the Constitution overrated? Because Obamacare has been ruled unconstitutional. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Phil, world famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. Clara Bingham from Joyful Union Congregation with us. It's a private school, and Ms. Bingham is a school teacher. She and her husband also operate a senior shuttle service, as well as, of course, you have your church, which is a Pentecostal church.
Yes, that's correct. Pastor Rennick is the main spiritual shepherd of our congregation. And I, along with Ms. Leonard, Mavis Leonard, we run the middle school. Without Obamacare and the promise of health care, Mr. Henry, we're really looking at our seniors not having anywhere to find transportation to get to the doctor. And
you mentioned that they'd be wandering freeways.
Well, I use that as an example.
Well, when you say that they're going to be wandering freeways, you know, you're going to give a lot of people around the country the idea that people are allowed to walk on freeways. No, they're not.
No, I know that they're not. But you have a lot of elderly people who have Alzheimer's. You have a lot of elderly people with dementia. Now they don't have our shuttle service because I can't afford I've got to take paying customers. So I can't afford to have them on board. And now they're at a bus stop. They may begin to wander. And it's very easy to imagine an elderly person, Mr. Henry, wandering up a freeway on-ramp and standing at a call box. I really don't want to consider that. So when they say that Obamacare is unconstitutional, I ask myself, is it time for the Constitution, you know, to have an amendment or otherwise not have no Constitution, you know, have the Constitution?
Yes. Well, I don't think you're going to get any people saying no Constitution, you know.
But without Obamacare, what is the Constitution? Is it something?
Well, I heard a couple of jokes, and I didn't think it was very funny during the break. You and your husband joking about wiping with it, you know.
Well, that is just, that was a joke William came up. Yeah, he came up with that.
Well, I don't think it's funny to say you're going to wipe with the Constitution. Look, you have children that are writing letters. You have elderly people scared that they're not going to have transportation to the doctor. Now you're saying the Constitution is, you're going to wipe with it.
Well, all we're saying, Phil...
That's a document sacred to a lot of people.
All we are saying, the Constitution is obviously not all it's cracked up to be. If something amazing, like Obamacare, can get thrown in the trash, is all I'm saying.
But then Obamacare can't be all that cracked up to, you know, what it's supposed to be, if it's not constitutional.
No, that's wrong.
I don't see how that's wrong.
No, that is... It works one way, it doesn't work the other way. The Constitution, I would wipe with. But Obamacare is good.
No matter what?
It helps old people so they're not wandering on a freeway.
All right, 877-876-7445 is our number here with Clara Bingham. Let's go to Don in Fargo, North Dakota. Don, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Clara Bingham. Go ahead, please.
I appreciate the time here, Phil. I'm a Canadian citizen down here listening to your conversation with the educator there. And,
yes, sir.
I'm just phoning to let you know that I, as a Canadian citizen, am in favor of repealing this health care bill that you're trying to, or that she's trying to get changed or unrepealed.
It's a health care bill. It's called unconstitutional. That's what they said. Unconstitutional. You know that. But the Constitution, we think, and you're a Canadian, you probably don't. I don't know if you understand or if you have the same charter for your government, but Constitution might be something that we can't use anymore on account of a health care bill being unconstitutional.
Let me explain. Don, you know what we call constitutional. In other words, is this bill... Is it in line with our U.S. Constitution? That's all.
Oh, okay.
And a judge in Florida today said, no, it isn't.
And he's wrong.
Well, that's your opinion, Ms. Bingham. So that's what happened.
I'm just wanting to let you know that.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I'm just wanting to let you know that. You don't want the system that we have in Canada, and that's what you're trying to invoke down here. We're hoping that it fails down
you
here.
Don't know. You know about Constitution?
We already got that from the gentleman. You don't want a public system, in other words, Don, which you have in Canada.
Well, I don't think...
Absolutely not, we don't.
I heard it's fantastic what you've got in Canada. I know already...
You've heard it. It's fantastic. Okay.
I heard it's great. A lady got a breast implant.
Uh-huh.
And that, uh-huh.
Okay, great. Breast implants. Tell me, Don, what, yeah. Tell me about your system up there. What do you?
The lady, she got in the six-month waiting period.
What do you mean breast implant? Let's talk about something that people need. How about like cancer or something like that? You know, guys got cancer.
Well,
an MRI or a
CAT scan. They got to get you in. They got to get you in. And they got to have your brain. Don, and I'm joking with you, Don. I'm joking with you. Have you had your brain? Have you had a brain x-ray? I'm joking with you, though.
Why would you say that to the guy?
Because he don't know about Constitution.
He's a Canadian gentleman. Thank you very much, Don. Good to talk to you. And have a pleasant trip home. All right, 877-876-PHIL. He's a Canadian citizen, so he's going to have some questions. Here is Teresa in Atlanta. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Teresa with Clara Bingham.
Yes. Hi, Clara.
How are you?
I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
I am for Obamacare, definitely for Obamacare. I don't agree with the fact that you're not allowing the parents to get involved with the letter writing that that the kids are doing, because perhaps maybe some of the parents don't even approve of the Obamacare, and that's their right. That is their right. And as you said, that a lot of the kids, they're too young to know, and it's up to the parents to make that decision for what's best for their children. And as for
can you imagine who those parents are? Can you imagine who those parents are that they don't want to have no Obamacare? I don't even want to know. I don't even want to know who those parents are who don't want to have Obamacare.
But that's not fair. That's not fair. That's not democracy. They have the right. That's their opinion.
Right. Yeah. And these are their children.
That's their opinion. That's their children, and they have the right to that. You don't have to agree with them. You don't have to agree with them.
I got another black woman on the line. I have another black woman on the line, Mr. Henry. So if you could not talk.
Well, I'm
black. I'm black.
Yes, and I am too.
Okay, I'm black, and I
just want the white man.
I'd like to make one more comment about with the elderly and with the shuttle thing. I think, and I'm sorry if I'm wrong, but I think that you're much more concerned with losing maybe the profits from your shuttle business. That Obamacare is wiping that out. This is taken away from the shuttle. It's taken away from your business, because it's not taken away from the elderly their health care, because they're still going to have health care. What you're saying is that now they're going to have problems getting there, but I'm sure they will get there, because they do. They do have services under the government. If they have Medicaid and Medicare, they do have government-funded
shuttles,
non-medical services that will get them to and from there. So that's what you're striving for, especially with you being so adamant about not getting the families involved, and then having these children to say they have a disease. Why not just say what you said earlier was, okay, if these kids are concerned about them maybe being ill and not, you know, being able to get any care, let them speak from their heart. Don't tell them what's right. If you want to give them
a lot of these children are not too bright. They're not too bright, and we want to get rid of these letters done.
Oh my God! You're so condescending. I wonder. Do the parents know this?
No.
Do the parents know that this is how you feel about them and their children?
Here's the thing about the parents, because I know maybe you're a teacher. A lot of these parents are real stupid, I've got to get these letters written before a lot of these people find out.
And why would you do that?
I just want to ask this white man. Because a lot of them are
Is this a private school or a public school? I mean, the administration goes along with this?
It's a private school, but a lot of these parents can afford it because they're going to be able to afford it because of Obamacare. Now they repeal Obamacare, a lot of these kids drop out, see? And these dumb
parents. What does that have to do with the school? I'm not understanding what that has to do with
school. Because the school, they will be able to afford the tuition with Obamacare, but without Obamacare, the kids have got to come out, see? And these dumb parents.
Okay, so if that's the case, then why not appeal to the parents with that? Why not appeal to the parents and say, well, this is what's going on? And if you think that.
Because the parents don't understand.
Have you given them that chance? Have you even given them the opportunity to express themselves?
Can I say something, Teresa? It's so condescending. Talk to them. No, ma'am. It's just so boring to call them up and talk to them.
It is so boring. You're in the system, and you're supposed to be teaching their children.
Ma'am.
Oh my goodness! And you don't have
time
for
that. Ma'am, all I'm trying to say is I'll call these parents
up. You can illustrate this phony scenario to tell this, you know, to tell some poor child to tell, you know, write a letter and say you have cancer or you've got sickle cell or diabetes.
We are trying to get the Obamacare back.
That's not Oh, my goodness.
I'm just trying to get Obamacare back. It's all we're trying to do. And when
Why? To protect whom? To protect whom? Your shuttle business? Because it's not about the family. It's not about those kids, and it's not about their parents, because they're too
can
dumb
I say
and
something
stupid
to you,
anyway,
Teresa?
From what you're saying.
Teresa, can I say something to you? Everything you're saying, you enable the White Host to come in and agree with
I'm,
you.
You,
you and
I'm
I
sorry,
as two black
I'm
women.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
Wait. What does that mean?
I didn't understand. I didn't understand what she said. I'm sorry. You said.
I said the white man that's the host of this show is going to agree with you, and then it pits two black women against each other.
Wait a minute.
This is what I feel.
Excuse me. I don't like being talked to that way.
I want to talk to this lady.
And you said that you are educated.
You agree
woman,
with me.
Period. This doesn't have anything to do with you being black or me being black.
Well, you know it does. You know that.
No, it doesn't. This is how I feel, period. This has nothing to do with my race. I say, the first thing that I say was that I was for Obamacare. I'm black.
The elderly women.
Not because Obama's black, because now you sound ignorant. Now you are really talking ignorant. What you just said was very ignorant. And for you to be somewhere in a facility teaching someone's kids, what you just said, this is scary. This is scary. And you know, since you want to put race in it, it's so stereotypical.
I'm sorry.
That's what you are being right now. I can't believe you just said that. I really can't believe you just said that.
Well, you know as well as I do, the white man.
I feel like I've lost you, and I guess I've lost the conversation because now we're on a whole different page. You're talking about race, and this doesn't have anything to do with race. I'm sorry.
The Constitution was written a long time ago.
You're just being plain on ignorant right now, and I am just
so
sorry.
Who cares what the parents' opinion are?
I can't believe. Do you have?
I got the little kid writing a letter. I had a child writing a letter today claiming that he had leprosy.
You have no substance to back up anything that you said or anything that you've done. That you had to fall to say that.
Because you said the whole race thing.
You really have to say that.
You're not going
to
give me any respect.
You just took the validity from everything anything that you said because of that comment that you made. That one comment that you just took away
from that white man's laughing.
He's
laughing at us.
I wish if I knew what school you were in or whatever, I would start writing letters myself.
Well, we don't need to talk about that.
School administrator.
What's the name of your school?
To get in touch with these with these children's parents to let them
know
that
how old
this
the Constitution
is where you're coming
is?
From.
And it's over 200 years old.
It's nothing to do with those kids. It's nothing
and
to do with
I
those
had
parents.
A child
all those
today,
elderly, all those, all
and
the elderly
very proud
right
of
now.
That
it's all to do about
beer,
what Obamacare
Senator Boxer,
was that is going to
I
take away
leprosy.
From your shuttle
Could
business.
I please
and
go to the
I'm
leper
so
colony
sorry.
On Obamacare.
I'm so sorry.
And I'm so sorry that you don't understand that I had a child today say that he wants to go to a leper colony. Do you know how good that you got to be to get a kid to write something like that? I'm good. I said I'm good to get a kid to write a leper.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
You know, I used protection, but it wasn't...
You tell me you did not hold hard when you pulled three.
After the tragic massacre in Tucson...
I'm the head of a major corporation. I can't spend all day increasing market share
and... that's just the way it is.
Bleeping retarded.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. News talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Going places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Where truth is our bitch. Security is going to be tight for the Super Bowl this weekend. And a mom goes on Dr. Phil to talk about how she disciplines her kid. And she goes to jail for it. And if there's one thing that is a constant in our society with the access that we have to... well, to performing on camera for the general public, to showing the world what our world looks like, whether it is on YouTube or other places. The one thing that we have found out is that people want to show you their world, even if it means they're going to go to jail.
Yeah, I feel like they're throwing that dog.
They're throwing the dog, those Marines, all of that stuff. Those kids that, you know, that film the fights, the bum fights. People are so dumb or so hard up for attention, they'll do it even though they...
Well, what about a guy that's going to, you know, like Ghost Rider, or what do you call Ghost Whip?
Ghost Whip? You mean those clowns that are jumping off their car and then jumping back in? I don't know what you call that. That one guy I saw, I thought I was going to die laughing. Oh, my God, I thought I was going to strangle. That jackass jumped out of his car, and the car ran right into a tree.
Yeah, it was like a truck.
Yeah, it was a truck. Unreal. All right, 877-876-PHIL. And, of course, our website is philhenryshow.com. I want you to pay close attention because this week we have another item coming into our merchandise store, and that's the official Phil Henry Show shot glass. There it is. Those of you watching on the video cast, this is a beautiful thing. The shot glass will be in our merchandise store this week and certainly makes for a marvy gift for the forthcoming, spring, as spring comes upon us, and summertime, Father's Day, Valentine's Day, right around the corner. And if you're going to use your Pro Flowers, that's a great idea. Pro Flowers for the ladies, and for the man, check it out. All right. Also, I'd like you to take a look at our best of CDs. All of our vintage classic best of CDs are there. And we also have our 2000 available for autograph. So the 2000 Best of Phil Henry Show is autographed by me. And we've got all of the vintage best of CDs there at our merchandise store at philhenryshow.com. So check it out. Security plans are tight for 100,000 fans at Super Bowl. What is that, Bud?
I don't know. It's XLV.
Yeah, it's XLV, but what does that mean?
What do you mean, what does it mean?
What? That's a number. That's a Roman numeral. Do you know what that is?
Uh-uh.
The L?
Uh-huh.
That's 50. The X before the 50 is a 10.
Yeah, all right. So that means like 50 minus 10?
50 minus 10, exactly. So you have the L is 50, the X is the 10, 50 minus 10, and then the V?
That's the stupidest thing I ever seen.
But just hold on for a minute. What's the V?
Or I don't know.
Robert?
Five.
45.
That's dumb.
It may be dumb, but that's how the Romans did it, man. And you know what? The Romans were so badass that there's stuff that they did that we still do to this day. So you can't...
Yeah, but they only do that because it looks bitching. They'd never do that if it didn't look cool.
I mean, it looks bitching.
It looks real good, man. Like you could carve that in marble or something.
Yeah, it does look cool carved. What do you mean carved in marble? Well, it does look cool. Super Bowl 45. So the NFL is expecting more than 100,000 fans. You know what 100,000... No, don't tell me. I don't even want to know what 100,000 is in Roman numerals. Because I don't even know how to begin. I know that M is 1,000. Am I right about that?
Don't look at me, man. I don't know.
C is 100. M is 1,000. Anyway, the NFL is expecting more than 100,000... Why do they call it a C note?
I don't know.
$100. Get out of here. The NFL is expecting more than 100,000 fans to attend Super Bowl 45 at Cowboys Stadium and has turned to the federal government for helping secure what can be high-profile potential target for a terrorist attack. How many people can they fit in this stadium?
I don't know. I've been up against 100,000.
Wow. U.S. Secretary of Homeland Security Janet Napolitano joined NFL Security Director Milt Alerich and local law enforcement officials on Monday to detail the plans to safeguard the Super Bowl. Let me ask you guys a question at this particular point. Why should this be the job of the Homeland Security?
Are you kidding, man? Because what are you talking about? They got to. There's too many people.
Well, I know there's too many. I'm not saying that Homeland Security shouldn't have some role in keeping NFL security abreast of threats, let's say. And, of course, they have they're charged with making sure the airways are safe and all of that. But why does Homeland Security have to operate, like, you know, hand in glove with the NFL in this thing?
What are you trying to say, anyway? You want to get a terrorism?
What am I trying to say is this, man. How come the Federals have got to be involved in every little nook and cranny of security when it comes to events like this? That's all I'm asking.
Because nobody go to it.
Nobody would go to it. That means it would be a failure as a business expense or as a business venture, and that would mean the NFL would lose money. Well, they can't do that now, can they? So it's the government that has to secure the National Football League's premier event. So there's all kinds of examples of government that people don't like or will like or could like or shouldn't like. Or we got examples of expenditures when it comes to government that quite frankly, I find unnecessary. The National Football, I'll give an example. The National Football League has enough money. They got way more money than they need. And they sure as hell have got enough money to create a first ticket security operation around the Super Bowl. I mean, leaving no stone unturned. Now, I'm not talking about international threats, terror threats that come through the FBI and the CIA. I'm not talking about that. But I'm saying that it, on the ground, as they like to say, at the Super Bowl, at the facility, and maybe even in the air directly above it, although that's FAA, I understand, they could create an airtight security situation with the money that they have. But instead, it's up to us.
Yeah, but that's what police are supposed to do.
Is that right? Is that what police are supposed to do? Homeland Security is to make sure that we're not attacked by terrorists. I don't, excuse me for asking the question or making a stupid comment, I don't necessarily put that together with acting as a partner in securing the Super Bowl. And I don't care how big an event it is. It could be the World Series. It could be anything. See, that, but that's my thing. See, I don't believe that there should be a Transportation and Safety Administration. I think the individual airlines ought to create their own security.
You can't do that because, you know, because if the plane crashes.
If the plane crashes what?
It'll crash into a building.
Well, it crashes into a building, man. You know, there's automobiles that crash into buildings. There's automobiles that crash into each other. You know?
Yeah, but we got a police and everything.
Yeah, but we're not checking out every clown that gets into a car to make sure the guy is okay. We got drunk driving laws. We got more after-the-fact stuff out on the highways than we got any kind of prevention. Okay? Only when you get into an airplane. Anyway, I don't want to talk about that. U.S. Secretary of Homeland Security Janet Napolitano joined NFL Security Director Mitch Alerich and local law enforcement officials on Monday to detail the plans to safeguard the Super Bowl, and Alerich pleaded for cooperation and patience from the tens of thousands of attendants at Sunday's game. We want to ensure the public that they will be safe. Oh, God.
What's the matter?
I don't know, man, but I can see, I don't know, there's something that's just bugging me about this.
Well, what's wrong?
I don't know. There's something that's bothering me. There's something bothering me here, like access to the stadium early. Like, are they going to be? How are they going to get people into? See, you know.
Well, go ahead, talk about it, man. I want to hear.
Oh well, thank you very much.
Yeah, unburden yourself.
Thank you.
Well, man,
get your feet off the table, will you? I'm just saying, when they start talking this way, have they come up with some kind of a plan, quote unquote? That means that they're going to not open the gates until a certain time, and then you're going to have a lot of people crowding, and then people are going to get really angry, and they're going to be checking and you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know what time they're going to open it up for regular football games or anything, but, you know.
I mean, if you go to a regular ball game, like at the Coliseum, and go see the USC or UCLA play, I think the gate opens about an hour and a half, maybe an hour. Yeah, about an hour and a half before the game starts. You can't just go into the stadium anymore the way you used to, you know, a couple of hours ahead of the game. Fans attending the game will only be able to bring very small items into Cowboys Stadium. Among the prohibited items, camera and binocular cases and camera lenses longer than 6 inches, if you'll pardon the expression.
What's that mean?
It means you can't bring, you can bring your camera in. No telephoto lenses. What's 6 inches? About, well, here, I'm just kidding. So a telephoto lens is a big-ass lens.
Yeah, I'm not talking about a little tiny lens.
A little lens and your camera. No camera cases. No binocular cases. So you got to have the binoculars hanging around your neck. The league will not hold prohibited items for fans. So if you have binocular cases and you cannot have that, you might as well throw it in the garbage, Jack, because they're not going to hold on to it for you. It's over. All right? Now, how many people do you think are going to forget that rule?
Probably a lot, man. I mean, you bring on a binocular, everybody brings a binocular case.
Everyone does. That means that you can't bring your binocular case, which means don't bring the binocular lens, the lens cap, unless you want to throw it into your pocket or something like that. The NFL is coordinated with local police and federal agencies such as the FBI to protect the event. The airspace around Cowboys Stadium on game day will be cleared. And Napolitano, who is adding increased air marshals on flights in and out of Dallas and declared the game a level one national security event, said the government is adopting the If You See Something, Say Something campaign to advise fans about Super Bowl security. Do you recall this kind of a security discussion around last year's game?
I don't remember. I don't even remember watching last year's game.
That was a great game last year. You don't remember?
Not really, no.
Maybe I'm just, I'm wondering if because I heard that they're, leading up to, at least this month, I did hear a comment somewhere along the lines of, the U.S. is a, remember the threats? They said that there's a high level of threats, there's a possibility of an attack, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think you're just weirding out, that's all. Yeah, you think that, I'll tell you.
Just tell me what I think. I'm not weirding out. They had Homeland Security last year, too.
Yeah, I remember that.
Well, then why didn't you say something, man? Anyway, we are constantly monitoring the area around the stadium for any potential or perceived threats. President Obama said earlier this month that he intended to attend the Super Bowl if the Bears had won in the NFC title game. While Obama has since backed off that, Napolitano said authorities would have to be able to accommodate Obama's presence without a significant change in plans. The president goes to major events like this all the time, Napolitano said. So what you would do is you would take the plan and you would bend it. You would bend it out to include a visit by the president. All right. I just hope that that when they ask for patience, that means that they're going to be checking a lot of people going into that stadium, and it's going to be slow going into that stadium, and people are going to be angry.
Yeah, but you're saying it, and you're making everything bad.
No, I'm making everything bad. I know how people are. I just know how people are. One woman goes on television to talk about how she disciplines her kids, and now this dumbass is charged with abuse. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be back in just a moment.
Phil Henry.
PhilHenryShow.com, PhilHenryShow.com. Get a backstage pass, look at live streaming video of our show, and because we are soon to enhance the video stream to a studio production quality level, baby.
Yeah, like effects and everything.
Right. We're going to have behind us, see, what I want to have behind us is not just a studio. I want the ocean, man. I want, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know what? I think you ought to have like a volcano or something.
We can do it all. With the video production that we're going to be putting into place here, I can have a volcano behind me. That would be awesome, man.
Like, in reality, you have like an ocean and a volcano erupting and everything.
Yeah. What about porn? That's right. I'll have porn. I'll have a green screen behind me and porn. What a nut. Okay. Listen to this. This is how sick this society can be. Now, this may go in Bangkok, if you'll pardon the expression. This may go in Thailand, Burma. I don't know. This may be something that's all the rage. I remember when they had that problem. Remember they had that tsunami down there?
Yeah, you were saying that nobody should get no money and everything. I mean, people was drowning.
You know something, bud? I still say that. I don't want to be sending money down to Thailand while they got that kid trafficking thing going on down there. You know how depraved a society is? Anyway, pimps, this is happening in our own country. Pimps will traffic thousands of underage prostitutes to Texas for Sunday's Super Bowl, hoping to do business with men arriving for the big game with money to burn.
Who's saying it's going to happen that?
These are child rights advocates. As the country's largest sporting event, the game between the Green Bay Packers and the Pittsburgh Steelers, by the way, I picked the Steelers to win, and they will. And I don't say that to offend anybody.
I told you you're going to get in trouble.
I ain't going to get in trouble, man. How am I going to get in trouble? People may hate me, but I don't go with my heart. I go with my head. Okay? That's the way Phil Henry goes. I used to be a guy that bet with my heart. Not anymore. That's why, just to give an example of my reputation, I picked the Lakers in five games before the NBA Finals even started against Orlando, called it thank you and good night. That's why, before the playoffs even started last year in the NFL, I picked the two teams, Indianapolis and New Orleans, and I picked the winner, New Orleans. That's why, before the divisional finals even started, I said it was going to be Green Bay and Pittsburgh, and I'm picking Pittsburgh.
Yeah, you could be. That was the first time for everything to be wrong.
First time to be wrong, huh? I've been wrong more times. It's only in recent years that I've finally put my heart aside and bet with my head that I'm starting to make some real money, legally, of course.
Right.
So, no. I don't play that anymore. I don't run around and shed tears for some stupid-ass team. Do you remember that scene that I keep telling you guys about in, what was it, Bronx Tale?
Oh, yeah, man, that's the best scene. What do they tell a kid?
You know that movie, bud?
Yeah, that's the mafia guy, right?
Yeah, that mafia guy. And it's basically, if you guys don't know the movie, it's really a great movie. It was written by Chaz Palminteri, who's an Italian-American actor, and directed and starred in by Chaz Palminteri. Excuse me, directed and starred in by Robert De Niro, who directed and starred in it, and Chaz Palminteri. Anyway, this boy is torn between two influences. The influence of his father, who is a bus driver, but is an honest man, a hardworking man, who tells his son, don't waste your talent, who tells his son, get home from school, go up there, don't go into the bar. That's where all those mafia guys hang out. I don't want you in there. You know, do your homework. So this is the influence of his father. And then he has the influence of the local mafia crew chief, this guy named Sonny, I think is his name. They're all named Sonny, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. The guy's name is Sonny.
Yeah, I think it was Sonny. Who also is a good influence. He says, nah, this life isn't for you, kid. The kid falls in love with a black girl. He says, you know, it doesn't matter what your friends think. Sonny Lospicio, what are you coming up with that from?
I think that was on a TV.
Get out of here. That's the name of the character? Anyway. So the little Italian kid, he falls in love with this black girl who is from another neighborhood. But Sonny says to him, don't worry what the other guys think. You know, it only the way the two of you feel between the sheets. And you go out with this girl, and he even lends him his car. So this guy, Sonny, is a good influence in his own criminal way, you know. Anyway, now I totally freaking forgot what the hell it was I was trying to say. Oh, yeah. He says to the little boy who eventually grows into a man, the son, he says, you like Mickey Mantle, huh? And the kid says, yeah, I like Mickey Mantle. He said, and you know how these Italian mob guys in the movies, oh, what'd Mickey Mantle ever do for you, huh? Mickey Mantle pay your rent? No, he don't pay your rent. Mickey Mantle don't care about you. So the little boy's like, wow, yeah, you know. And so when he later has an argument with his father, he says, Mickey Mantle is a chump. So this is the...
Which way does the kid go?
Well, at the end of the movie, Sonny dies in a hit in the bar. And so the young man eventually is with... He's with his father. He never is not with his dad, but he tells his father that he loves him. His dad pays the respect of coming to this guy, Sonny's funeral. And the two of those men had been at odds. The one guy's a mafia guy. The other's very honest father. His honest father says to him, you know, I know what you can do to me. I know who you are. I know what your reputation is, but you cannot interfere with the way I raised my son. So he basically throws the gauntlet down. And one of the mob guys says, you want me to have him taken care of? And this Sonny guy says, no, leave him alone. I don't know whether that would ever happen in real life, but it's a moment where a father says, no matter what, he's my son. And so at the end of the movie, when this guy Sonny is dead, Robert De Niro's character, the father, comes and he says, I wanted to pay respects to your friend, and he says, thank you for taking care of my son. So it's a nice movie, you know, but
yeah, it said Mickey Mantle's a chump.
Yes, it's a nice movie, but it basically says Mickey Mantle was a chump. Okay, one company has a wine bar and a saloon, another offers Botox for its employees or employers. Is that right? We'll tell you some of the most unusual perks at the nation's best companies, the Phil Hendry Show. Employers.
Phil Hendry. world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Don't forget, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com for all of your Phil Hendry needs. Go on over to our website, get a backstage pass, and you'll get thousands of hours of archives, as well as our podcasts, as well as our uncensored rants, as well as our classic Phil podcasts. It's all there. Alaska mom charged with child abuse after appearing on the Dr. Phil show. Now, here's what she did. Then she goes on the Dr. Phil show, and then she gets arrested. All right. You know?
Good thinking.
Forces her 7-year-old to take a cold shower, drink hot sauce as punishment, and this stupid bitch gets arrested. You gotta love it. You gotta love that.
Man. I don't know, maybe come on, she's like so proud of it.
Well, I just think that's how dumb some people are. Now, forget the fact that she's cruel and she's criminal. We know this. But to go on the Dr. Phil show, she's so jonesing to get on with the Dr. Phil show, man. She can't. She's risking arrest. Well, not that she knew it. Anchorage, Alaska. Video from the Dr. Phil television show of an Alaska mother forcing her adopted son to drink hot sauce and take cold showers prompted a police investigation that's led to charges of child abuse against the mother. The video has been viewed by over a million times. It's the same thing with anybody that puts a video on YouTube or anywhere else that shows, that depicts obvious illegal activity. You're asking yourself, what planet, man, what planet did they take the shuttle from? You know, and when does it leave?
Yeah, was it a round trip?
Yeah, is it a round trip shuttle? Jessica Beagley. Yeah, I'll bet.
Well, I do a name, Beagle. Like she's a dog.
Yeah, it's real funny, man.
Ha ha.
Oh, you thought it was good.
Not really, no. Jessica Beagley, a 36-year-old mother of six. She's 6 years old? No, I'm kidding. Jessica Beagley, a 36-year-old mother of six, was charged with misdemeanor child abuse in an Anchorage, Alaska courtroom today. She was not present at the arraignment. Her attorney entered a plea of not guilty. A police investigation began after Beagley appeared with Dr. Phil McGraw in November of last year, according to court documents. The segment of the show was called Mommy Confessions. Yeah, Mommy Confessions, all right. Hey, Dr. Phil, why did you turn this woman in?
Yeah, I was going to ask that, man. Why didn't he say something?
That's right. That's right, Dr. Phil. Let's listen now. In this video, shot by a family member and then aired on the Dr. Phil show, Jessica Beagley scolds her 7-year-old son for pulling a card, which means the son got infractions in school for misbehaving. Let's listen to this mother talk to this kid after he got this card for misbehaving.
Why did you tell me you did not pull a card when you pulled 3? Why did you lie to me?
I didn't
want something
to
do. You didn't want to get in trouble. Does it work to lie to me? What happens when you lie to me?
I get hot sauce.
You get hot sauce. What else happens when you lie to me?
I get a hot sauce.
Do you get in more trouble for lying to me?
The boy gets tossed in a cold shower as punishment.
What is the consequence for pulling a car?
Cold shower.
A cold shower. Get undressed right now.
I can't listen to that. That's disgusting. That bitch ought to be in a prison cell tonight. That freaking bitch. This is when you use pain to teach a lesson. What do you think the kid draws from that? That pain works. In other words, to get what you want in life, inflict pain on people. That's what that child has learned from that no-count bitch. God, man, that pisses me off.
Man, I'll tell you, it pisses me off too.
So you want to smack your kid around? What are you teaching your kid? You're teaching your kid that the way to get what you want in life is to smack people around. Well, brother, you better teach him how to smack good. Because people smack back. As a parent, I learned from a woman who I think is a great mother, Maria. She used depriving the kids of things. She never raised her hand to the kids. She said, you're not going to get this. Oh, really? Is that them? Guess what? No TV. Guess what? No computer. Guess what? Now, some people may think that's child abuse, but I got a news flash for you. No, it ain't. That's child abuse, what you just heard there. That dirty, filthy bag, somebody ought to take her and shove her in a cage. Give her a cold shower. How the hell? Let me ask you a question, and I'm serious. What is this bald-headed jackass McGraw doing when he's listening to this, other than having his wife scolding this woman on the show? Did you guys call the authorities, McGraw? I love the name McGraw, don't you?
Yeah, but your bitch's old lady calls him Quick Draw.
Shut up. His old lady calls him Quick, probably. Well, what did you do, McGraw? Beagley told Dr. Phil about her difficulty disciplining her 7-year-old. You see, she's a real imbecile, and she probably got beat up as a kid herself. Some white trash. Who knows? We tried a lot of different things to punish the kids. Yeah, I bet you had a lot of fun doing it, too. The mom admits to spanking her kid, forcing him to do jumping jacks until he's exhausted. Did you try anything else, like depriving the kid of a TV show? No, she wouldn't think of that. During the show, the boy is being punished for getting 3 cards pulled. On camera, Beasley is seen pouring hot sauce down the kid's throat as punishment for lying. Then this ugly bitch goes on a TV show. Boy, I bet you there's one thing in this world that she likes more than beating her kids up. Going on TV with Doc Phil. She's leaning over the boy as he sits on the bathroom counter saying, "Don't spit it." The boy can be heard screaming when Beagley forces him to take a cold shower. When he gets a cold shower, I'm at the end of my rope. Well, I just bet that life is tough for you, isn't it? When he gets a cold shower, I'm at the end of my rope. Nothing's gotten the results that I want. She told Dr. Phil her son is the biggest stress in my life. Yeah, well, guess what, lady? It ain't nothing compared to what you are in his. Biggest stress in your life. Your kid, you'll be lucky if that kid doesn't hate your living guts by the time he turns 18. You want to know why kids pick up guns and blow their parents' heads off? You've heard about that, right?
Well, yeah.
Yeah? You think they do that just because, some kids are sick, some kids are psychopathic. There's a lot of reasons why kids are messed up, and some of them just don't like their parents. Viewers flooded the Anchorage Police Department with calls after the show aired. Now, this show... I'm telling you right now, the Anchorage Municipal Prosecutor said in court documents the behavior in the video violates the Municipal Code protecting against child abuse. Anchorage Municipal Prosecutor Cynthia Franklin said the discipline of the boy was not reasonable. The stun, the shock, the acute anxiety can also lead to long-term type of post-traumatic stress disorder that we often see in criminals who are incarcerated. They're good people caught up in a bad situation, Peter Ramgren, one of Beagley's defense attorneys, said. Child Protective Services has done a complete investigation and found no evidence of abuse of the other child. If they believe it was a dangerous situation, they would have removed the children. Okay. Nothing Jessica has done is criminal. If you give your child food that has hot sauce on it, maybe they can eat Mexican food. Will you come on, clown? She's doing this as a means of inflicting pain on this child. All right? Now, you want to spank the kid? That's a way of inflicting pain on a kid, but you're not supposed to raise any welts. Maybe throwing that hot sauce down his throat, maybe that's one way of abusing a kid when it doesn't leave any sign. How about that? Beagley's husband is a patrol officer of the Anchorage Police Department. The family's active in the Mormon Church. The couple has 4 biological children. They adopted twins from Russia. The boy seen on the show is still in his parents' custody. The family adopted the twin boys when they were 5 years old. The boy seen drinking the hot sauce as one of the adopted children. Naturally. You dirty old bitch. Don't give me your Mormon. I'll bet you anything those 2 little Russian kids, boy, I bet you you probably get your cookies torturing those 2 kids because they're not yours. They're a couple of little ragamuffins from Russia. Couple little adopted ragamuffins from Russia. God knows what horror they came from in Russia. And now they're ensconced in a nice, happy American family in Alaska getting cold showers and hot sauce shoved down their throat. Kid probably thinks he's in hell. Anyway, his treatment has sparked further concern about the adoption of Russian children by American family. Boy, I wouldn't blame him. If I were the Russian authorities, I'd look at that and go, what the hell are we doing? last year, a Tennessee woman put the... Remember that bitch that put that little boy on a plane back to Russia? And I mean, there wasn't anybody to meet him. He had no idea where he was going, why he was going. She just stuck his ass on a plane like he was a broken vacuum cleaner. Like it was a parcel she was sending back to the manufacturer. Why do people want to have kids if they hate them? If you hate children, if you have a problem with children, why would you want to adopt them? Other than the fact that you want to torture them. I understand that. I get that. And if they ever find out about you, boy, I'd love to watch the flogging. If it were legal. But some of these people will adopt kids because it gives them some other kid they can torture. You know, I read the very first book I read. It was really ironic, too. You know, the very first book I read when I got to Minnesota was Death at White Bear Lake. Did I tell you guys about that?
Yeah, about that little boy.
Yeah. Death at White Bear Lake was about two little boys, one of whom I think was adopted. In any event, they were adopted by this couple in White Bear Lake, Minnesota, back in the early 60s. And the little boy, the youngest of the two, was so badly beaten and maltreated by the mother, the adopted mother, or adoptive mother, he eventually died from his injuries. Now, this is the early 1960s, and doctors didn't call the cops in those days. They'd look at the injuries. Well, I guess he fell. What happened? He fell. Oh, okay, he fell. He's got like 9 million fractures. His face is beat to a pulp, but he fell. Okay, well, isn't that too bad? He's dead. 3 years, 4 years old, dead. Beaten to death. So life rolls on, time rolls on. The woman that gave this little boy up for adoption, I guess it's the case in many instances, can't get the little boy out of her mind. She wants to at least know what happened to him. Did he wind up okay? Is everything all right? Can I maybe see him? I don't have to meet him. So she goes to White Bear Lake, and she asks about this little boy. And she finds out that not long after she gave this child up for adoption, he died. Now, this is the 1980s now we're talking about. We're well into the 80s, a time when this child should be in his 20s. He died. So she wants to know, well, what happened? And she finds out, and it begins to, like a lot of these things in life, it begins to just sort of gnaw at her. She doesn't quite believe it. She doesn't quite get it. It doesn't add up. She goes to the White Bear Police Department, and she meets up with a young cop, a guy who was very young, maybe the same age as this little boy that was killed, and they reopen the case, and they re-interview everybody, and they re-examine the evidence, and they go to the house where this now elderly couple lives, and they arrest this woman for murder.
Did they put her in prison?
Yep, they put her in prison. They convicted her for murder. And that woman went to Stillwater Prison in Minnesota. I don't know if she's still alive. I think she died in prison, or maybe she died. Maybe she got out. I don't know what kind of a sentence they gave her, but they did convict her, and they did send her inside. So,
man, a lot of those stories, man, will come out. You know, they find out about it later on.
But that woman, that I couldn't even listen to that, man, that Alaska mom. And I'm going to ask this question again. This jackass, and I know these guys, these doctors on TV, they're not worth a pinch of, because I've seen them in action in Radioland. I've seen psychologists, radio psychologists. I wouldn't go to see them, man, to get directions to, get directions to the bus stop. But these people, they make a name for themselves. Now, this guy McGraw, he's a doctor? You think he knows the law?
Well, maybe not Alaska law or something like that.
Well, even if he were unclear, if this is called mom confessions, we're obviously hearing from women who are having maybe a problem with what they did, or they're feeling guilty about it. I mean, this bitch doesn't sound like she's repentant at all. Don't you think that guy, that McGraw, should have called somebody?
Yeah, I probably think McGraw put a call up, and maybe he just said, I'm McGraw, you know.
He said what?
Maybe he just said, I'm McGraw.
Yeah, he should have said it's Dr. Phil.
What are you guys talking about?
The cops wouldn't know.
He calls up and says, I'm McGraw?
Yeah.
Will you get out of here? I'm not fooling around, man. I'm serious.
I don't know.
Well, then somebody ought to find out. You know, these guys, they sit there raking in their money, doing their TV show. I mean, are you doing any real work there, Dr. Phil? This woman sat down and showed you a videotape of her torturing her kid. Anyway, We'll be back here in our world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Sorry, I didn't mean to get Ben out of shape. Unusual perks at some of the country's best companies are coming up next here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
I didn't get Ben out of shape. McGraw.
Famous Phil Hendry Show.
And now, next up on Dr. Phil, now, how do you discipline your kids? All right. So, I learned all about waterboarding on Dr. Phil. Yeah.
You don't think you're going to waterboard no kid or anything like that, do you?
I don't know. How do I know? How do I know how sick these freaks are out there? Oh, Dr. Phil, I got such a hard time. You know, the other day I was walking to the front door. My kid happened to be sitting next to some metal stairs. And, well, you know, yeah. Oh, thank you for the film footage. You're right. We can use that. You know, the more I'm hearing about Dr. Phil from my staff here, from Mr. Rance, from Robert, and from Bud, the more I think you guys should call the Dr. Phil Show and find out why doesn't he just present himself to the local gendarme.
You tell him they got to go to the cops?
I think he should walk in and, hi, I'm Dr. Phil. I understand you guys probably want to see me about something. Well, what's that, Dr. Phil? Oh, God. I filmed this. And then I filmed this. Oh, you hit the bell at the end? Yes, I did. So.
Yeah, you're laughing about it.
Well, I'm laughing so I don't cry. I laugh, Bud, to keep from crying. Unusual perks for employees, 11 best companies, Botox from Chesapeake Energy, a wine bar at DPR, CNNMoney.com compiles an annual list of 100 best companies to work for based on annual salary, the employee atmosphere, commute to work of those companies. CNNMoney.com has now compiled a list of the unusual perks that those employers offer. So here they are, from 11 to number 1, the most unusual perks. Are these unusual perks, or are they good perks? I guess they're unusual perks.
Yeah, but I guess they're going to be good.
All right. Number 11, Chesapeake Energy. Not only do employees of the natural gas producer have access to a 72,000-square-foot fitness center and parent-child yoga classes, the company accommodates their sometimes parental needs in disciplining. I'm joking. No, they accommodate their cosmetic health needs as well. The on-site medical center offers a full range of dermatology services, including cancer screenings, lesion removal, and even Botox injections. And the company's fitness center has 7 tanning beds as well as a spray tanning capability. Wow.
Man, that's great.
That's marvelous. A fitness center from Chesapeake Energy. Number 10, Morningstar. Plenty of the best companies to work for offer sabbaticals, but few have a program as robust as Morningstar's. The investment information company gives employees 6 weeks paid leave every 4 years. Beautiful thing. Although in Germany, the law says you have to have 6 weeks paid leave every year.
You blow it!
Number nine, Cisco. For employees without time to bring their cars in for a tune-up, the tech giant brings a car care company to the office twice a week. Employees can leave their cars with mechanics for an oil change while they work. Number 8, Microsoft. You figure Microsoft's got to be up there.
They probably got a lot of bitching stuff.
Lots of best companies have office complexes with coffee shops and even company credit unions, but none can match the Commons, the splashy year-old hub of Microsoft's Redmond campus. The all-out shopping mall has 23 shops and restaurants, including a spa, a bicycle repair shop, and a pub. Number 7, Kempton Hotels and Restaurants. Never heard of them. Have you ever heard of these guys?
Never have.
Employees at Kempton's pet-friendly hotels needn't worry about leaving their animals alone at home during a long workday. Hotel staff can bring their pets to work, provided they play well with others, and leave them without signed pet care specimen. The company is also partnered with PetAssure to offer employees veterinary health insurance, and the pets get access to the company van to drive it to and from. I'm kidding.
Yeah, they're safe, if you're kidding or not.
No, I'm not actually kidding, bud.
Yeah, the pets can drive, man.
All right. Hasbro, Mattel, number 6. It's all fun and games every... What did I just do? Number 6. Hasbro and Mattel. It's all fun and games every Friday at both of the nation's leading toy makers. Each company gives employees summer Fridays, a half day, all year round. Bitchin'. Number 5 is DPR Construction. A wine bar is installed in all 17 of the construction firm's offices where employees can pop a bottle of red to toast major accomplishments. or a project's completion. The only exception is the construction company's Texas branch, which features an in-house saloon instead.
Whiskey.
Well, I can't finish this list, but we will. Maybe tomorrow. Technical direction by Rick Johnson. And, of course, our associate producer is Dan Northcraft. And the show is produced by Jason Rantz. I'm Phil Hendry. PhilHendryShow.com. Get your BSP, baby.
Phil Hendry.